I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, come
welcome
me
everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, if you are listening on the good old-fashioned terrestrial radio, please be patient with us. Got a couple of engineering issues going on. You may not be hearing commercials during our breaks, but don't worry, I'll be here with Sam, and we've got a terrific next guest joining us. Her name is Wiyade James. She is the Senior Director for K-12 education policy with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And I'm so excited to have her here because there is a very real and existential threat to public education everywhere, from the most rural jurisdictions to the largest urban public school districts. Your child's education is on the chopping block under the next Trump administration, and we're seeing those impacts already. Welcome, Wiyade. Thank you for making so much of your expertise available to us. And do you prefer Dr. James? Do you want me to call you Wiyade? What's your preference? I wanna call you what you would like.
Wiyade is totally fine. I'll leave it up to you. But thank you so much for having me. A pleasure to be here. And thanks for holding space for this very important conversation.
It is something that, you know, Milwaukee Public Schools have been on the forefront of as really one of the first jurisdictions that allowed for some version of school choice. And back then when it was first introduced, it was really focused on giving families that had the biggest economic struggles and challenges access to additional choices, not just their local neighborhood school. But school choice and voucher programs have metastasized so far past any of that original idea that they've now taken on a life of their own. Can you tell us what has Donald Trump been up to? We know he wants to dismantle the Department of Education, but what is he doing with public education specifically? Right.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right in terms of Milwaukee sort of being part of the epicenter of school choice. I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and the first charter school was established in Minnesota. So, based on what has been put forth by the administration, there was a recent executive action to expand school choice. And we know what that means, right? It's to privatize public education, is to ensure that those who are already at the margins are harmed even more, right? So the idea of providing private vouchers to families to go shop around for a quality education creates a market-based education system, right? Where we're prioritizing competition over quality, as opposed to investing in traditional public schools. This administration is trying to divert funding from the public education system and essentially put those resources into vouchers, into education savings account programs, into micro schools, and all of these different forms of privatization that will only be harmful to students who are at the margins, like rural students who live in rural communities. Only 35% of those students have access to one or more private school, right? And we know that a private school voucher does not cover the full cost of tuition, right? You might have a private school where the cost is $25,000 a year for tuition, but you have a voucher for $5,000. Who's going to cover the remaining $20,000, right? So for a family who can't afford that, that's not really giving them a fair shot, right? And a quality option to choose from. So I think the executive order, speaks for itself and is very harmful to students who again, are, like I said, are already at the margins.
It is, I think, sometimes hard for people to get their head around why privatization of public education and creating a market-driven, competition-based approach to education will not, in the long term, serve any of our children best. And one of the reasons is that the quality, the focus, the outputs, when schools can be selective about whom they admit, like walk us through why the privatization helps dismantle the and actually works at a counter purpose to the very fundamental point of public education that is supposed to be free and accessible and effective for every single one of our kids.
Absolutely. You know, the public education system was established for that very reason, so that every child will have access to a free quality education. When you remove any investment in that system, then it becomes a system where only those who have the resources really can access a quality education, and you create an entire system that is privatized. So I think there are a few things at play here. You reference sort of adhering to, let's say, you know, discrimination laws or other federal laws that ensure that every child has access. When you increase, you know, private schools receiving public dollars and try to privatize the system, you create a situation where, you know, private schools can set their own admission standards. Right? So you don't know who they're accepting and who has been excluded. There's also a lack of accountability of private schools and schools that are not public schools. And that's something we need to keep in mind, right? That we are essentially encouraging public taxpayer dollars to go to schools that have no accountability whatsoever. They have all the autonomy in terms of how they operate. You know, they can choose their own curriculum. They can hire teachers who are not certified. They can have policies in place that only, you know, the federal or state governments can't necessarily like regulate, right? But they have no accountability in terms of how they're serving students. They're not required to take, their students are not required to take the NAEP, for example. I'm mentioning right. The NAEP because last week NAEP results just came out on math and reading for fourth and eighth graders. So private school students are not part of that sample of students who take the NAEP. We don't know how these students, how they're doing. We don't know how well these schools are actually preparing them in terms of a world-class education. So I think, you know, what we need to focus on here is investing in the public education system that we do have, because we know that when we invest in schools and public schools, they do work. Many of us are products of the public education system. You know, we have former presidents and scientists, you know, who have been through the public education system, and it works when we fund it properly. So that's what we need to focus on.
You mentioned a lot of things that I'd like to follow up on. The NAEP, just so people are, it's the National Aptitude Test, basic reading and math skills. And one of the things that has really concerned me, and I think it's very important for us to try to be candid about the challenges that we see in public schools, is both fiscal and standard lack of account and standards, educational standards, testing standards, lack of accountability in the charter and voucher space. And we can, and here in the city of Milwaukee, where I'm from, we do have to criticize some of our school boards and ask for greater fiscal accountability. But it feels to me, Wiade, and if you can talk about this a bit more, that we have approached this sort of baby in the bathwater moment, where the legitimate criticisms of public schools or the things that aren't working as well as we would like them to work within public schools, that the solution has seemingly been, well, first of all, it's all those LGBTQIA books in the library, so let's get rid of those. That's stupidity, of course. And then secondly, this idea that, oh, well, then we should just throw out the entire system and privatize the whole thing. And some of the things that that you noted that people may not be aware of is that anti-discrimination laws do not apply to voucher and many charter schools. The laws that require individualized education program or IEPs for students with learning challenges are not legally required in voucher and charter schools. So the schools end up being able to select the students which they would like to admit. They can discriminate on some very pernicious bases, like if you happen to have two parents of the same gender, oop, maybe you're not getting into that school. The vouchers often don't cover the whole freight of the private education. And what it can lead to is not only fiscal mismanagement and inability of taxpayers to demand accountability, which, as imperfect as the public school systems are, we can still get there. These discriminatory practices, but at root, what it can lead to is that the only schools that will take the children with the most challenging mental health and learning issues will be public schools, but defunded at a level that will cripple them in a way that they cannot deliver education purposefully. So with my lengthy preamble, what I'd like to ask you is, hey, how do we address where we are looking at our public school isn't meeting or achieving what we hope it is, and still talk about and criticize and look at the realities of what charter and voucher programs mean? So that complexity there. What say you, Iade, when, you know, as people think, well, my public schools might not be doing everything I need them to do either.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm also a parent of a child in public school system. And I think, you know, we need to have honest conversations about how our schools are faring, you know, but also what resources do they need to do their jobs well, right? And I think I want to go back to the point you were making earlier around students with disabilities, because this is a very important point about why we need a strong public education system. Students with disabilities who have an IEP are covered under IDEA, which is the federal law that governs special education. And those students are not served fully in traditional private schools. So private schools are not authorized to fully implement a child's IEP unless it's a specialized private special education school. So what happens is when the child with an IEP goes to a private school, the private school can elect what services they can offer, usually through a more abbreviated form of an IEP, but it's not the full services that student may need in terms of specialized instruction or speech therapy or whatever the case may be. So those students are not fully served in those settings. And that's why public schools exist, right? To fully serve and meet the needs.
We gotta take a